Natural Living with Gary Null, exploring the nature and politics of medicine, health, nutrition, and the environment. And now your host, Gary Null.
And welcome back. If you've just joined us, we're here to talk about health issues. Nice to have you on board. During this segment of the program, I'll be sharing some of the latest on topics that generally do not get a lot of attention in the mainstream media. And when they do get attention, almost always, not in a fair and balanced way. Time permitting, we will go to calls. And I'm going to ask our engineer in New York City if he could give us our phone number for people to call in. And we're going to be taking calls today for the tri-state New York area. So all the other areas of the country, please don't call in, because we're only going to take them for New York, because I'm only going to leave about 15 minutes for calls if we have that at the end of the show. So, Michael, what would be the number people should call in? 212-209? What would it be? So I'm asking Michael right now. And we need our engineer in studio at all times, except for non-commercial radio. There are different rules. All right, well, when they finally get back in studio, they'll tell me what the number is. In the interim, let's go to the important issues, including, this comes from, and I appreciate this, from Franklin Johnson from New York City. I read this morning. It's called Frankenfood, A Clear and Present Apocalypse. I'll quote it verbatim. There are two things in life no one should ever watch being made. One is sausage, and the other is politics. So goes the old adage. The American people are already sorely distressed about the woeful state of politics. Unfortunately, they should become aware of the clear and present apocalypse festering in our food supply as well. The recent report disclosing McDonald's policy of soaking their raw French fries in meat flavoring should come as no surprise. After all, they're in the burger business, and any vegan who believes McDonald's is beyond accentuating other products to encourage burger purchases is encouraging self-delusion. Yet a class action suit is being prepared by the vegans who ate the flavored fries, probably too little or no avail. The issue only sidetracked public opinion and scarce court resources for the actual and awesome threat to human existence. Frankenfood. The globalization of agribusiness has brought about serious consequences to human health. In a frantic bid for ever-increasing profits, these megacorporations have crossed the line from purveying food products of dubious nutritional value to those which may fatally threaten humanity. Livestock prepared for human consumption have been fed newspapers, animal feces, rendered roadkill in the carcasses of sick and dying animals in a mash laced with massive amounts of chemicals, hormones, and antibiotics. Worldwide alarm about the safety of meat products has been met with swift legislation against some of these dangerous practices. However, the laws are full of loopholes and do not sufficiently address the problem. Despite the raft of livestock legislation, there is not one statute which deals with the greatest threat of all, bioengineering. Monsanto and other monster corporations have seized the grain supply in this nation and around the world. They have created seeds which farmers can't reproduce, forcing them to buy new seeds yearly. This corporate control of the global grain supply should not only be considered illegal and immoral, it should be further regarded as monstrous. It is evil enough that these corporations have been permitted to commander our grain supplies, even more evil what they have done about it. To date, 60% of the soybeans, 50% of the corn in America have been biogenetically altered. Monsanto and the agribusiness mob states these grains are no different from other hybrids. If this is so, why do they need patents for them? Biogenic grains have been fed to livestock for about two decades. The result has been tasteless and nutrition-poor meat products. You take home a pound of meat and put in a little water of soup. A few minutes later, you have a golf ball-sized portion of meat in a pot full of water. This occurs because the livestock have been fed biogen grains, which fatten the animals for slaughter quicker. These biogen grains are specifically altered to induce weight and water retention. which is to say the water content in the meat has been dramatically increased. And since meat is sold by weight, the meat thieves have been selling water for the price of steak, chops, and chicken. Why this is not a crime is beyond me. If there's no law against this practice, there should be one. And since Monsanto and the agri-mob did not discover any dramatic abnormalities in the livestock from feeding them Biogen grains for more than a decade, they decide the Biogen grains were safe enough for the general public. They ramped up their production in a cloak of silence. The FDA rubber-stamped their decisions with little regard for public opinion. Please note that the global populace has been force-fed this diet now without any accountability as far as the various vitamins and the other nutrients. Have you ever wondered how a mega-chain burger can sell about a third the price of 15 years ago, adjusted for inflation, and these companies still make huge profits? This is because these burgers are made presently with about 50% soybean, which can be fashioned to assume the taste and texture of meat. Have you ever noticed you don't hear the all-beef patty jingle anymore? When you eat a mass-marketed burger today, you face a double risk to your health. The meat comes from animals subjected to diets of garbage, Biogen grains, hormones, and antibiotics. The added Biogen soy paste is the burger in the burger patty could be just as dangerous. Despite protests to the contrary, the long-term effect on the human constitution from consuming bad meat or mad meat is unknown. The ultimate benefit of democracy is the right to choose. Americans had their right to choose severely abrogated in the last election. Yet no right is more important than the right to choose your personal diet. The agri-mob has denied the American public the right to choose their food products by refusing to label all Biogen products. They have forced legislation restricting green growers from labeling their products as chemical and Biogen free. Further, they have blurred the distinction between natural and Biogen so that they can hide their products behind a natural label. In the meantime, Congress has permitted itself to be held hostage and rendered impotent by massive corporate contributions. Cancer is rampant in modern Western society, from colon and prostate with low sperm counts in men to breast and cervical cancer in women. It appears a blissful transition from this life will be rare for most in the advanced nations. The silly little secret about this situation is that these cancer are either infrequent or unknown among the vast majority of humanity. People whose families have never known these cancers begin exhibiting them within a generation after eating the Western diet. Foods full of garbage, chemicals, hormones, and antibiotics cannot be in the best long-term interest of anyone. It is clear something is attacking the reproductive systems of both men and women in the advanced nations. There is no question where the problem lies. It's only a matter of what we should do about it. The indiscriminate abuse of Mother Nature, including her gifts of fruits and vegetables rich in medicinal nutrients, has finally become an ardent issue. The retro-revolution of the Bush administration has been bludgeoned with the political backlash it so rightly deserves. While individual citizens cannot directly impact the savage pollution of our air and water, a personal approach to the food safety is in order. As we transition out of processed to raw foods, it's important to begin taking our lives back from the purveyors of unnatural and nutrient-free food products. Americans are fat because they eat and drink products based on biogenetics, which are destined for weight and water retention. When you stop eating the Biogen corn chips, popcorn, corn oil, soy, and related meat and milk products, the weight will fall off. How do I know this? When I gave up these products, the weight fell off me. I'm living proof of what I say. Biogenetics, in the form of frankenfood, is a clear and present apocalypse. The myriad unintended consequences of releasing these questionable products into the food supply and environment are unknown. Earlier indications are not reassuring. The rabid pursuit of profit at the expense of common sense and the environment must be stopped now. Not next week, not next month, now. The threat to the long-term viability of the humanity is upon us. The best way to protest Monsanto, McDonald's, and other agri-mob products is not with a lawsuit. The best way for the individual to regain the democratic right to choose is simply not to buy them. Unquote. Franklin Johnson, New York City. Franklin, well said. Thank you for putting it up there. I'm Gary Nall. For those of you who've just joined us, we're here to talk about the issues that make a difference in our lives. Now, let's go on and take a look. This comes from the Environmental Research Foundation, Rachel's Environment and Health News, number 724, the current issue. And they're taking a look at fluoridation. Time for a second look, they say. And by the way, within the next, because I'm going to be traveling throughout the world over the next month, then back for a few days, then back out again, then back and back out again. I am finishing up my fluoridation research, and I probably won't get to it for at least 2 weeks, maybe longer. But it is on the agenda to be dealt with, and it'll be probably a 3 or 4 or 5 part series minimally. Let me just give you a little bit of the latest. This is by Paul Ellen and Michael Connett. I'll quote it verbatim. In 1997, the union representing scientists, engineers, and lawyers at the EPA in Washington voted to support a California citizen initiative to stop fluoridation of public drinking water. In 1999, the union's vice president released a paper explaining the union's opposition to fluoridation. Fluoridation is the practice of adding fluoride to the public water supply to reduce dental decay. U.S. fluoridation trials began in 1945, and by 1992, approximately 56% of the U.S. public received its water from fluoridated systems. Typically, fluoride-containing or generating compounds are added to water to bring the level up to 1 milligram of fluoride ion. In 1986, EPA set a maximum containment level for fluoride in drinking water at 4 parts per million. The MCL was based on only one adverse health effect, skeletal fluorosis, a crippling bone disease. Fluoridation of public water supplies has stirred passionate debate over 50 years. Now new data is refining the debate. It appears that some of the early claims for fluoridation's benefits were water inflated. In recent years, tooth decay has declined in both fluoridated and non-fluoridated communities. In fact, the largest U.S. survey indicates that the benefit of fluoridated communities amounts to 0.6% fewer cavity or 0.6 fewer decayed tooth surfaces per child. That's not even 1%, which is statistically insignificant. And again, just so you understand, for years and years, you have heard your dentist say, and all public health officials, fluoride helps prevent tooth decay. It does not. Here is the latest. The largest U.S. survey indicates the benefit to fluoridated communities is only 0.6 fewer decayed tooth surfaces per child. The public health community justified medicating a whole community via public drinking water using certain arguments that recent research has now shown to be false. For example, in 1945, scientists believed that fluoride had to be swallowed to be effective. However, the Center for Disease Control has recently acknowledged that fluoride's mechanism of action is not systemic. And by the way, for those of you in the New York area, if you're hearing static and interruption in the program, which you may, because I'm getting some feedback myself, please ask the engineers not to be doing anything with my program while it's in while it's on the air. Thank you. A second early belief, now known to be false, is that fluoride is an essential nutrient. There is no evidence whatsoever of any disease related to fluoride deficiency. Natural fluoride levels in human milk are 0.01 parts per million. They're approximately 100 times less than baby formula reconstituted with fluoridated water. A third early belief was that dental fluorosis, meaning a defect of the tooth enamel caused by fluoride's interface with the growing tooth, would occur in only about 10% of the children drinking water fluoridated at one part per million, and would occur only in its mildest form. Today, fluorosis occurs on two or more teeth in 30% of children in areas where the water is fluoridated, and not all in the mildest forms. A fourth early belief was that one part per million fluoride in drinking water provided ample margin of safety against toxic effects. Not only is there no safety margin for dental fluorosis, but there is growing evidence that there may be no safety margin for changes to bone structure and impacts upon the brain, thyroid, and other soft tissue, especially when it's coupled with nutrient deficiencies, particularly iodide. Now let's take a look at the evidence, which is really substantial now and growing. In 1998, the result of a long-term, low-dose rat study were published. Two groups of rats were exposed to two different kinds of fluoride at one part per million in distilled water. A third group received only distilled water. Amyloid deposits associated with Alzheimer's disease and other forms of dementia were elevated in the brains of both fluoridated groups compared to the control group. The authors speculate that fluoride enables aluminum to cross the blood-brain barrier. Now think of all the Americans. You're talking about tens of millions of Americans now who could be affected. Number two, millions of people in India and China suffer crippling bone disease called skeletal fluorosis, caused by moderate to high natural levels of fluoride, meaning 1.5 to 9 parts per million in their water. Skeletal fluorosis has several stages of severity, with the less severe being chronic joint pain. According to the article, quote, because some of the clinical symptoms mimics arthritis, the first two clinical phases of skeletal fluorosis could be easily misdiagnosed as arthritis, unquote. Arthritis is now at epidemic levels in the United States. Fluoride's plausible contribution has been ignored, but needs to be taken seriously. Number three, since fluoridation began in 1945, our exposure to other sources of fluoride has increased substantially. These include processing food and beverages with fluoridated water, air pollution from fluoride-emitting industries, pesticide residues, vitamins and dental products. Now, if one part per million in drinking water were only the source of fluoride, the average person would ingest 2 milligrams of fluoride each day. Though some may get less because they are bottled water drinkers, or they drink less water than the average adult. But still, in 1991, the Federal Department of Health and Human Services estimated that the range of exposure in communities with approximately one part fluoride was up to 6.6 milligrams per day. Number four, the dose of that 6.6 per day overlaps the dose found to depress the functioning of the human thyroid gland. At 2 to 4 milligrams, fluoride has been found to, quote, completely relieve the symptoms of hyperthyroidism, meaning an overactive thyroid. With fluoride's known capacity to depress thyroid activity, it seems that there may be a link between current fluoride consumption and the prevalence of hypothyroidism, meaning an underactive thyroid. More than 20 million people in the United States receive treatment for thyroid problems, and many others are thought to go undiagnosed. Number 5. Fluoride is a hormone disruptor. It mimics the actions of many water-soluble hormones by interacting with certain proteins which transmit hormone messages across cell membranes. Additionally, fluoride accumulates in the pineal gland and may reduce melatonin production. Number 6. Fluoride at 50 to 75 milligrams per day given to osteoporosis patients to strengthen bones has actually increased their rate of hip fractures. Of 18 separate studies conducted since 1990, 10 have found an association between water fluoridation and hip fractures in the elderly. According to the Agency of Toxic Substances and Disease Registry, quote, if this effect is confirmed, it would mean that hip fracture in the elderly replaced dental fluorosis in children as the most sensitive endpoint of fluoride exposure, unquote. Hip fracture is not a minor problem. In the United States, up to 50,000 people die each year of osteoporosis-related hip fractures. Number 7. Some evidence suggests that fluoride causes bone cancer in young men. Number 8. A recent report by the Greater Boston Physicians for Social Responsibility Review studied shows fluoride interferes with brain function in young animals and in children, reducing IQ. Most European countries have rejected fluoridation, recognizing there is simple and effective alternatives. They have applied the precautionary principle. The children's teeth have not suffered as a consequence. Parents willing to expose their children to fluoride can simply purchase fluoridated toothpaste, which contains 1,000 to 1,500 milligrams parts per million fluoride. And the American policy of giving fluoride to children by medicating whole communities with a potent drug that may harm some of people seems a dubious practice at best. At worst, it violates the primary principle of medical ethics, first do no harm. Furthermore, it violates the ethical principle of informed consent. And that is from the Fluoride Action Network and its activists working around the country. Dr. Paul Conant is professor of chemistry at St. Lawrence University in Canton, New York. And Ellen Conant is editor of Waste Not, just in Canton, New York. I'm Gary Knoll, and looking at the clock, that brings us up to the end of another hour of our program, and we're happy that you were listening, and we'll continue on our next show. However, we're going now to shift gears, and we're going to shift gears because we still have about 35 minutes left. I had to complete one part of our show, which I just did, because I still had another half a show on there. Remember, New York is only one of the cities where this show is heard. It's heard all over the United States every day. Now I'm going to ask, and hopefully I can get my number from Michael. And yes. Michael, what is the number for people to call in?
That number is 209-2900. Was getting the other programs that are broadcast over these airwaves to put it up on the satellite. That is 209-2900.
Okay, I don't know what is occurring, but I was
checking that out now.
I was hearing some static on my. I don't know if you heard it on your end.
Yes, we did as well. We're checking that out now.
Okay. So what we'd like to do now, instead of giving more information on health and nutrition, I thought we'd take some time and open up our call lines and see what are the health issues that you would like to address and have you have an opportunity to share your insights and perspectives or questions. I'm Gary Knoll, and you can call in now at 212-209-2900. While doing that, let me mention that this Sunday evening, I'll be on two programs from 8 to 9 o'clock at WNEW 102.7 FM. That's 8 to 9. From 9 to 10, I'll be on WEVD 1050 AM on the dial. So 8 to 9, it's WNEW. 9 to 10, WEVD. Now, I've had a lot of people who have emailed me over the last few days asking when or if the new program I'm airing on PBS will air in the greater New York City area. Not for a while. Probably not until December, and then not at that time. At some point in the fall, I'll hold a showing for those who would like to see some of the programs that have been produced for other PBS stations around the country, but not in the New York area. I have two that have not shown anywhere else, shown here, but have been showing everywhere else. And in fact, I just am rushing off today to another PBS station out of city to play it, and then off on an important trip. So I will, one way or the other, you'll have a chance if you wish to see it. I will tell you this. In fact, I'm filming later this afternoon the final closing and opening. We're done with everything else to a documentary on AIDS. We're right down to the final B-roll and special effects. Probably another 3 weeks, 4 weeks outside, we will have it completed. When that is done, I will give an announcement for those who would like to see it. It is a very powerful documentary. It's very long, and I'm not sure that I want to eviscerate it in order to get it down to a manageable show length, but it may just have to be one long documentary. Just very, very important stuff. Remember, we filmed it all over the world, 27 countries, over a 2.5-year period. But it's coming right up there. The latest stuff is on Mbeki in South Africa, so we're... Ask Mike. We're back on there, Michael. Do we know what the technical problem is?
I'm with Grayson, our engineer, our technician right now, and we're trying to solve this issue.
Okay, good. All right.
So we'll continue on normally as best we can.
Okay, good. Has this happened on any other show today?
That I'm not quite sure about.
All right. I've been listening all morning. I haven't heard any other. I just always find a little interesting why these things happen on my show. All right.
Well, I'm here with you. So.
Okay. We'll go to the phones and see who have we on the line. Hi. You're on the air. What's your name, please?
Hi. I'm Deborah.
Hi, Deborah.
Yeah. I've been in your race walking groups. I have two questions. One about bulging veins, you know, where the ankle area is right before you get to the ankle. And I'm going to Cuba also. So I'm going to hang up and listen. What should I take to avoid any disease or whatever?
Okay. Where are you going in Cuba?
Ooh, I can't remember the three places. Ooh, I just can't remember. I'm going with my
daughter. You better take a memory with you to Cuba then.
Otherwise,
you're going to end up in a fishing village.
Gosh almighty. Name some of the places. Maybe I can remember.
Well, I'm going into the mountains. Okay. I'm going to the rainforest.
Oh, I see. When are you leaving?
I'm leaving in that part of the trip is next Wednesday.
Okay, I'm not leaving until July 6th through the 27th.
All right, well, I'll give you the information that I'm going to be going to a study the use of natural medicines.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look at their AIDS clinics, and I'm going to film some there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to look at their new, something really unique and new, is their farmer markets.
Oh.
They didn't have these before, and now they've got some farmers markets.
Oh, great.
And
maybe I can, you know, hike up there and get something.
Well, now they have these in all the major cities.
Oh, great. That's wonderful.
And they're allowing sustainable agriculture to be offered. And and what you should do, take a lot of, take some clothes.
Clothes?
Clothes, like blue jeans.
Okay.
Things they can't get there.
Okay.
You know, a dollar buys you all the food you could eat for a day.
Oh.
You have no idea how so many highly educated people, it has the highest educational system in the world. Are you aware of that?
Mm.
More people have advanced educations in Cuba than any other nation per population.
Mm. I've heard you say that.
I mean, you have a cab driver who is both an MD, PhD, and professor of university driving a cab.
Wow.
I mean, people just are really have it rough. And so anyhow, I always take something you can give to people.
Okay.
And that's what they can use, that,
okay,
because they can't
correct.
Get that. Anyhow, never drink the water in Cuba.
Right.
It is bad.
Okay.
They just do not have the filtration system.
Okay.
And never drink spring water.
Oh.
Because springs can maintain high bacterial count.
Right.
Remember, bacteria can live at the bottom of a volcano at 5,000 degrees in lava fields. Bacteria can live at, you know, on the top of Mount Everest under an ice field.
My goodness.
Okay. So you can't freeze or burn out most bacteria.
Mm.
So what you got to do is you simply have to, be conscious not to brush your teeth, or even when you're taking a shower, keep your mouth closed.
Okay.
Because even something, if you've been diligent and you open your mouth when you're taking a shower and that water goes in your mouth,
wow,
you can get a bacterial and then you end up with some amoebic dysentery.
Okay.
You'll find a wide variety of fruits and vegetables and grains. Get bottled water and wash them. Take a portable filter. I have a filter and I take my own filter and I put water in it and turn it upside down, and 15 minutes later I've got filtered water I can drink, or I can use it for cooking.
Mm-hmm. I've heard you mention colloidal silver.
Colloidal silver is good at the 30 parts per million potency. Put 10 drops of colloidal silver into a beverage and drink it. It'll kill over 500 types of bacteria and viruses.
Okay.
Take oil of clove, enteric coated. You don't want this stuff straight.
Oil of clove. Okay.
But it must be in an enteric coated tablet or capsule.
Spell enteric. What is that?
Enteric. E-N.
Oh, enteric. Okay.
Enteric means it will not open up until it's in either the stomach or intestine.
Okay.
Now, oil of oregano, oil of clove, oil of spearmint, oil of cinnamon, oil of peppermint.
Okay.
Also take charcoal capsules.
Okay, charcoal. Okay.
Whenever you eat out, buy yourself some plastic forks and spoons.
Mm-hmm.
And use those.
Okay, great.
We will not find anywhere, at any place, sterilization equipment in any restaurant.
Okay.
And remember, you can wash all you want, and bacteria and viruses can stay on your silverware. That's true in any restaurant. And even people who have colds or flu in a house, how do you think a person in a home continues to spread a bacteria and cold or flu around a house? Silverware, telephones, doorknobs, toothbrushes. You got a cold, you better stock up on toothbrushes.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you finish with the toothbrush, turn it upside down and put the brush end in a glass of hydrogen peroxide.
Okay. Now, I carry alcohol everywhere I go, and I spray. Would that help me in Cuba?
Alcohol will kill anything there, and you don't have to take it there. You can get alcohol down in Cuba.
Okay.
And because they can make an alcohol from a byproduct of sugar cane.
Okay.
You're going to, outside of that, the simple little precautions, you're dealing with a very educated group of people who do have an awareness of hygiene.
Okay.
They're among some of the cleanest people on earth.
Okay.
And also take, if you have some old CDs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard for them to get CDs there.
Okay.
Take some CDs.
Oh, great. Okay.
They'll be very appreciative.
Oh, great. And about the bulging veins at the bottom, you know, I race walk also, and I'm noticing veins bulging.
All right.
What
does that mean? Are you overweight?
Well, I am a little bit.
Well, that's part of your problem.
Okay. All right.
Have you ever had any test done to determine your circulation?
Well, I belong to hip, so that should answer.
All right. So you probably have a circulatory issue as well.
Okay.
And you also have to get the weight off and do some strengthening exercises in order to get a greater return of the blood flow when it goes out of the arterial system into the venous system. There are little valves in that help keep the blood from pulling back. And that's what you want. You want the blood to flow more evenly. And that takes pressure off the pooling sensation. When you're sitting for periods of time, blood will pool down into the feet area, and that creates secondary veins to help supply blood to that area.
I see. Okay.
Now, using magnetic wraps around the ankles can help that.
Okay. I sleep on your pad every night.
Well, use magnets around the ankles. And and also horsetail herb.
Okay.
With vitamin E, coenzyme
Q10,
and hawthorn berry.
Thank you so much, Gary.
All right.
And you enjoy your trip.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. And we'll take another call. What's your name, please? You're on the air.
Hello, Gary?
Yes.
Yes, I was going to ask you some questions.
What's your name?
My name is Dennis.
Dennis. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, how you doing? I was going to ask you a question about working out exercise, equipment. I use free weights for many years, and I'm 49 years old now. My biggest concern is obviously dropping the free weights when I try to push it because I can't have a spotter. So my question to you is, there's many machines out there, Bowflex and some of these other new equipment that are out that seem to be supposedly giving you results. And I was just wondering if I should change to something like that if I wanted to keep up the pace I'm at, because I do have that fear.
It's a legitimate fear. A lot of people get injured each year because they're lifting weights and are not able to have a spotter, and you don't want that. Separately, you're much better at using resistance weights on a machine because the moment you get tired, you simply lighten up the resistance and it comes back to its normal position. You can't do that with free weights. You're in the middle of a set of free weights. You got to finish it. And it's best to get one of the inclines, because an incline will generally have an incline which hits your upper shoulders, back, your top end of your abs, your lats, your delts, and your pecs, and your traps. And that one simple incline with resistance is what you want. Remember, in any bench press, just like a push-up, it's not how fast you do it. That's a junk exercise. It's how slow you do it. When I do a curl, I'll do one single curl. When I do a sit-up, I'll do one single sit-up. And that's as good as doing 100 to 200 sit-ups. Wow. Because it takes me as much time. You put all your energy into doing it very, very slow. And then you get up on a sit-up, and as you're coming back, you go down real slow. Never bounce. Bouncing tightens lower back, and you don't want that. You want to keep the strength by resisting the urge just to drop down and, you know, get another inhale. And that's where you get your really powerful workout. A single set. A single rep. It's a whole new way of understanding exercise. Again, we're at that point now. That wouldn't have been advice I would have given 5 years ago, but now that's what I see really works best.
What would be an appropriate weight for something, you know, for a single rep, for example, or even if you did a single push-up? Well, obviously, a push-up would be just your body, but would you get the same effect from that?
Well, you do, because what happens is the resistance itself increases the power. Remember, you're taking your time, so by the time you finish one push-up, it might take you 2 minutes. In fact, you should really do it based upon time. Have a stopwatch, start, and see how long it takes you.
That's interesting.
And then each time try to add on to that. So it's as if you're adding extra weight on. That's the benefit of resisting. So a year from now, if you still did one sit-up, you'd do it longer. So it'd be the same as if you were adding on greater pressure.
Interesting concept.
It works.
We'll give it a shot.
Good.
Thank you.
All right. So we've spoken with Deborah and Dennis. Next up, what's your name, please?
Hello, Gary.
Hi.
My name is Bill.
Hi, Bill.
I wanted to ask you about a facial problem that I have for some time. I was diagnosed by a dermatologist having a condition called rosacea or something. And this thing keeps coming on and off, you know, and... He gave me some antibiotics to take. It seemed to went away for about 10 days, and it keeps coming on and off.
Okay.
It's very annoying. It's very, you feel like scratching a lot. You feel like...
It's called rosacea.
Right.
R-O-S-A-C-E-A. Rosacea is generally it's an ongoing chronic skin condition that you're going to see it more often than not on your face, forehead, nose, chin. What we're dealing with here is a group of capillaries close to the surface of the skin that become dilated, and that caused the blotchinesses. Now, have you ever been a drinker?
No, that's what the doctor asked me. Usually it's caused by a lot of alcohol or by a lot of stress.
Well, you can also cause it by other things as well. Do you drink coffee?
Yes.
It can be due to coffee as well, because... coffee is also a dilator. Any form of caffeine. Do you eat sugar?
Very little.
All right. It'll come and go. But what happens is that you have a phenomena when those capillaries under the skin are no more noticeable as you age. And because the skin is thinning. But they're thickening. So you have the phenomena that your capillaries are getting thicker, your skin is getting thinner, hence the capillaries become more pronounced and more sensitive to the touch. Are they sensitive to the touch?
Yes.
Okay. It looks like acne, but it isn't. And do you have any blackheads or whiteheads?
Not really. Not.
All right. Have you used any clay masks?
No.
You should. Green clay is one of the best ways in the world of helping this condition. Mm-hmm. The underlying cause, nobody knows absolutely. It, spicy foods can cause it. Sunlight. Have you been in the sun?
Not much, no.
All right. Humidity, extremes in temperatures, wearing makeup, that can also cause it. And then stress and vitamin deficiencies. Now, what I would suggest, I would go on a cleansing program, and I would cleanse for at least, on juices, for at least a month. Now, you could have salads and grains and nuts and seeds, but absolutely no other processed foods whatsoever. It's almost like a raw food program for about a month.
Right.
The best single oil for the skin, if you have rosacea, is primrose oil. It helps heal skin disorders. Why? Because it contains linoleic acid, which your skin needs. Mm-hmm. I would suggest 500 to 1,000 milligrams three times a day. Then you have grapes seed extract. And that's important because it's a very powerful antioxidant that modulates allergic and inflammatory responses by reducing histamine production. And anytime you get stressed or you can eat some spicy foods, do you ever eat spicy foods?
Yes.
All right, well, you can't because that'll increase your histamine level and that will cause that to flare up. Vitamin A at 25,000 units a day helps heal the skin and creates new skin. B complex at 100 milligrams twice a day. That's very important. Vitamin E at 400 to 800 units. Zinc at 50 milligrams is great for tissue repair of all types, and it enhances your immune system in the process. Chlorophyll from green juices, I would have 4 16-ounce glasses of diluted chlorophyll per day. And you can use any form of vegetables or chlorophyll that you want as long as you get it into your system. Flaxseed oil, 1,000 milligrams a day. And L-cysteine, C-Y-S-T-E-I-N-E, at about 500 milligrams a day. It's always best to take that with an empty stomach and vitamin C. And why I would suggest L-cysteine is because it contains sulfur. And sulfur is your single most important nutrient for the skin. Proteolytic enzymes reduces inflammation. Selenium at 200 micrograms is good because it encourages tissue elasticity. It's a powerful antioxidant. It's very good for the skin. And buffered vitamin C promotes the collagen synthesis and strengthening capillaries, which can help act as a very good anti-inflammatory. Now, the best herb of all for the skin is aloe vera. And you want to apply it at night before you go to sleep.
Sure.
And wash it off in the morning. But it has anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antifungal properties. Borage oil, dandelion root, and dong quai, sarsaparilla, and yellow dock also improve skin tone. And to control the inflammatory process, curcumin, which comes from turmeric, and bromelain. Now, red clover and burdock root are powerful blood cleansers, and burdock helps improve skin tone. And cayenne, which is capsicum and fennel seed, and ginger, marshmallow root, and slippery elm also promote healing of the skin. And then you want to clean your liver with milk thistle, and lots and lots of liquid, a gallon a day total of liquid. Now, mind you, you can have no cocoa, no dairy, no chocolate, no salt, no sugar, no spicy foods, no eggs, no alcohol, no caffeine, if you really want to see a difference in your skin.
I see.
All right?
Okay, Gary.
All the best to you.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.
And let's go to another call. Hi, your turn. What's your name?
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
Hi, Gary. My name is Lenny.
Hi, Lenny.
Hi. Let me just get off this cordless phone. Hello?
Yep. Lenny, what question or comment do you have?
Yeah, I'm trying to get the latest information on herpes simplex 1 and 2. Where could I find that?
All right, well, go up to my webpage. I have a whole discussion on it.
Okay.
GaryNall.com. We put up, new articles every day go up there. And I'm expanding our consumer page for issues because we've been working very hard on a lot of different issues. You'll see the latest on hydrogen peroxide, ozone, and vitamin C to destroy it completely.
Oh, really?
But you have to do it when you are in an episode. It's got to come out of the ganglion. And you actually, once it's out, and almost always it's going to occur when you're stressed, and it comes out, that's when you have to get the therapy going.
Okay. All right, and what would I have to punch in to pull up this information? Is the herpes? Or
yeah, just when you see the topics, go to herpes.
Okay. All right, thank you, Gary. I appreciate all your work, and I know you get this quite often, thank yous and all of that, but... if it wasn't for you, you know, I think we would be maybe 100 or 2 years, 100 years or maybe 200 years behind where we should be in the alternative movement. And it's through your efforts and constant diligence with research that has brought us this far. And I really, from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lenny. And who do we have next up? What's your name?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Gary. My name is Linda. How are you?
Good, Linda.
Yes. The reason for my call is I was wondering, what could I do to cure a post-nasal drip?
How long have you had it?
I would say about 2 years now.
All right. Go back.
Off and on.
Go back 2 years ago. What was happening in your life 2 years ago that was different than before then?
Maybe a little stressful.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago. Other than that, as far as my eating habits, they're basically the same.
What have been your eating habits then?
Well, I don't eat too many sweets. I don't eat red meat, but I eat chicken.
You eat some sweets and some chicken.
Yeah, I eat chicken. I eat fish. No red meat at all. Turkey, I eat turkey.
Mm-hmm. Wheat? Yes. Bread?
No, I used to eat wheat bread, but I stopped eating wheat bread about a year ago.
Any dairy products?
Yeah, sometimes I eat eggs and cottage cheese from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no more ice cream.
Any yeast products?
No, not really. I eat a lot of vegetables. I drink juices from time to time.
What's time to time mean?
Well, fresh juices maybe a couple of times a month.
Okay. Then what do you drink if you're not drinking fresh juices?
I'll drink orange juice, you know.
Out of a jar?
Yeah, I need to go in the container or apple juice from the container.
Out of the container, all right.
Yeah, I used to load up a lot on the orange juice, but I somewhat cut down on that because I figured, you know, because of the calories and all.
Are you overweight?
I'm about 10, 15 pounds overweight.
Mm-hmm. Do you exercise?
No, I don't.
What kind of work do you do?
I'm a secretary.
All right.
And I'm sitting.
Okay, and are you under stress?
No, not now.
Do you have any pets?
No, none whatsoever.
Do you have carpet?
Yes.
Wall-to-wall carpet?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What kind of carpet is it?
I don't know. I really don't know.
You don't know if it's wool or synthetic, if it's glued back?
I would say it would probably be synthetic.
A glued back synthetic?
Yes.
Is it a short nap or a deep nap?
It's short.
Mm-hmm. All right. Have you ever gotten up and cleaned the top of your windowsill or behind your curtain shams? Or
yes.
How often?
How often would I do that? Every so many months.
Honest.
Well, be honest. Yeah, maybe every 3 months. No more than that. But, you know, I do find that...
Now, when was the last time you got up and actually went up on top and said, there's some dust up here and I'm going to clean it off?
But, you know, I use the vacuum cleaner.
In your dreams, it's every 3 months. Like running a marathon in your dreams.
Okay, so maybe twice a year.
Okay, don't stretch it.
About twice a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you wouldn't want to hold your breath between those two, would you?
About twice a year.
Okay, well, I wish we had a picture of that. Now, when was the last time you cleaned that drip tray in the condenser dish underneath your refrigerator?
Oh, boy, it's been a while.
No, it's never been. Be honest. You never did.
I'm trying to figure out, what is that?
You're doing a tap dance with me on a razor blade.
Oh, God.
You didn't even know where that was.
No.
So just say, it's all right. It's okay. Just say, I didn't know it existed, Gary.
Oh, I didn't know what that is.
Okay. Well, then don't try to tell me you cleaned something you didn't know what it was.
All right.
All right. So here's what we're looking at. We're looking at a toxic body in a toxic home.
Oh, God.
All right? That's living under stress and it's overweight.
Uh-huh.
It's not exercising.
Uh-huh.
And so what happens is that the immune system takes a hit.
Uh-huh.
And wherever you're most susceptible, when your immune system falters because of chronic stress,
uh-huh,
that's when we develop local focal infections. And your sinuses and the sinus membranes, the mucus in the sinus membranes, are being under siege. Do you have silver fillings in your mouth?
Yes.
Yeah. How many?
A lot.
I'll bet you don't know unless you went.
No, it's a lot. I have a lot.
All right. Mm-hmm. Go look in the mirror and tell me how many silver fillings you got.
I have eight.
The eight that you can see. Did you look up underneath?
I really can't tell.
So you don't know how many. So you got eight on the bottom. So it probably is you have an equal amount up on top, which means about 3/4 of your mouth is filled with silver amalgam.
Mm-hmm.
That's lowering your immune system 24 hours a day.
Mm.
And when you're very young, what are you in, your mid-30s, early 40s?
Early 40s.
Okay. So now what happens, it all catches up. Everything catches up when you're in your 40s.
Okay.
And you start to accelerate the aging process, and with that, the diseases of a weakened immune system. The first symptom is the clogged sinuses, the congestion in the sinuses, which generally most people adapt to by simply accepting there's going to be, you know, mucus discharge in the morning. But then the headaches or pressure in the face will bother some people, especially when they lay down at night, can't always breathe through the nose and both nostrils. Can you breathe through both your nostrils?
But see, I can breathe through my nose, but it's just the dripping go back into my throat and all. Oh,
well, it has to go back into the throat.
And I cough because I get the tingle in my throat.
Yeah, and that also is going to be bacteria, so you're going to have bad breath.
Yeah, and I'm constantly, you know, brushing my teeth a lot. And
the teeth brushing is not going to make a difference. You should brush your teeth, but it will not kill the taste because that dripping is loaded up with bacteria. It's almost like a liquid form of pus.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and think if you're kissing someone. Kissing someone?
That's disgusting.
It is, because if you told someone, I'm going to give you a big, wet, bacteria, pussy kiss, I'm going to put some of my bacteria and stinky breath in your mouth, they're going to look at you and go, goodbye.
Goodbye. So disgusting.
It is disgusting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But it's there. I mean, you know, and so what you've got to do, you got to clean it up.
Okay,
and how you clean it up is this. You can have no chicken or turkey, mm-hmm, no dairy at all, no sweets whatsoever. You've got to start re-stimulating the body's cleansing system. You've got to detoxify the liver and the intestine.
Okay.
That means you've got to drink a lot of pure water every day and start with juices. green and juices are your best to start with.
Green juices. Like spinach juice?
Well, no, you can't have just spinach. It's too strong, and you just wouldn't want spinach. There's too much phytic acid, bound with calcium, copper, and zinc.
Well, like with
celery.
Celery?
No carrot. I don't want you to have any carrot.
No carrot. Okay.
Celery, cucumber would be the two primary ones.
Okay.
Aloe vera as a juice be the third.
Okay.
Then I want you to get some acupressure on the face. And that will get it to really run, and it'll just be profuse. But that's good. You want to clear it out.
Okay.
Then you want to start taking some bee propolis.
Bee propolis. Okay.
Red clover.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important. Quercetin.
Quercetin?
Quercetin. Quercitin. Quercetin.
Okay.
Garlic.
Raw garlic?
You can have garlic in any form you want it.
Oh, okay.
Onions, raw.
Oh, raw. What about red onions?
Red onions are good. Just run them under cold water for about a minute, and it'll get rid of the oils that cause a bad breath.
Okay.
And burn. You also want to have raw horseradish.
Raw horseradish.
And you've got to let you buy the raw horseradish in a store and grate it, put olive oil and let it sit for 3 days in a refrigerator, then use it a little bit at a time. Wasabi. Are you familiar with wasabi?
What's that?
Wasabi.
No, how do you spell that?
With a W. Wasabi is a Japanese horseradish that they make into a mustard. You can get it in the health food store.
Wasabi. Okay.
And start having some of that on your rice and beans. Because this is going to start opening that up and healing the mucus and bacteria.
Okay.
Oil of oregano, 4 times a day in capsules.
4 times?
Yeah, and oil of peppermint.
Okay. Oil of peppermint?
Yeah, and then I want you to see a network chiropractor who can show you how to do a nasal salt wash of your nasal cavities. Well, we're out of time. I want to thank you all for listening, and I want to thank Linda and Lenny and Deborah and Dennis and Bill for calling in. Now, I'll be back Monday, wherever I'm at, talking on the show, and even though I'm going on the road, I take my microphone with me, and hopefully any technical glitches we'll have fixed by then. Please tune in Sunday evening, WNEW 102.7 FM at 8 o'clock, and WEBD 10:50 a.m. at 9 o'clock. Have a wonderful weekend, everyone.